and then go from there. All right.
Yeah.
Welcome, Vicki.
Well, it's been a great month this month talking about God's faithfulness. And, you know, Claudia's sharing is just another example of how God really works in our lives as we allow Him to work. God never forces anything upon us. And during this time when we've been looking at God's faithfulness, it's very clear from His Word and practically in our own lives how faithful God really is. Now, Jan showed us some accounts from the Word of God's faithfulness, several of them when she taught. And last weekend when Sal taught at the picnic, he took us to the record of Joseph. Remember that? And how faithful God was to deliver Joseph, even out of circumstances that he had done absolutely nothing wrong. Now, Joseph could have copped an attitude. But I don't see Joseph copping an attitude anywhere in God's Word. Do you? He remained faithful, and he looked to God for his deliverance. And when Sal taught that, you know how Joseph could do that, really? Because he knew what the Scripture said. He knew what God had promised his great-grandfather Abraham, a child. And did God fulfill that? Yes. He knew what he promised his great-grandfather, his grandfather Isaac. Did God promise that? God promised throughout history to take care of his people. Joseph knew those scriptures. He knew the scriptures. So he was able to lock in to what he had been shown from the Word as growing up. And guess what happened? God was once again faithful. But God was faithful because Joseph did something. He obeyed. And that is what I'm going to teach on today. It's a combination of God's faithfulness and our obedience to God's faithfulness and what that really is in our life. Sometimes I think obedience gets a bad word. It gets a bad rap. It's taken as, well, you're trying to control me, or you're trying to reprove me, or no, that's not what God's doing. And I say God because... You want to look in the Bible about obedience? It's everywhere. And you know what God asks? Us to obey Him. Now, we can obey God in any given circumstance. It's our choice. God does not take away our free will. And sometimes our disobedience makes it harder for God to bless us with the things He wants to bless us with. Our obedience to God, you know what that does? It opens the door wide for God to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Because that's the kind of God we have. God loves us. He wants the very, very best for our life in any circumstance and in any situation. But He has to deal with us. He has to deal with you and me. And I want you to go to Haggai. This is a little book. It's like the next to the last one of the Old Testament. I don't know about your Bible. Mine was pretty clean when I went there. But this is really a story that is quite interesting. So I'm going to give you a little history. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. And then we'll move on to some of the other scriptures that has the second part of this of why obedience is very important. But Haggai is a book about the Israelites. They had been in captivity for over 70 years, Babylon. So this king, Cyrus, decides to give them permission to go back to their homeland. And Jerusalem was where most of these Israelites came from, to rebuild the temple of God. Now for 70 years, this temple of God, what did God do at the temple? It was His residing. That was His house, right? The temple was His house. And it was in ruins after these 70 years of captivity. And about 50,000 of the Israelites chose to go back to Jerusalem and begin to work on this temple, on God's temple, God's holy place, His dwelling place. So go to Haggai. I might need some help with a couple of names in here, Barney or whoever can pronounce these names. But Haggai 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius. Now, it says King Darius because he was the next king after Cyrus that let the people go. So a period of time has passed now. And the second year of King Darius in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to... Anybody know how to spell? There you go. The son of... Gosh, you guys are good. And he was the governor of Judah. And then to Joshua, who was the son of...
Jozak.
Say it again.
Jozak.
And he was the high priest. So Joshua was the high priest. And Jehozabal was the governor. Okay? These are the people that are ruling with King Darius. So in comes Haggai. And he says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Because during the time they went back and started to build the house, they got pressure from their neighbors and from the government that was there under Cyrus. And so because of this pressure, you know what the people did? They gave up. Now God told them to go rebuild my temple. He gave them direction, right? He gave them a job to do, something for him. And because of pressure from the outside in the environment they lived, they just said, this isn't the time for the Lord's house to be built. Now God says this is the time. This is the time for Claudia to have a job. And Claudia goes, okay, job. I want a job, God. This is what I want. And so God goes to work. And Claudia has to stay in place, locked in with God, and continue to believe. And yes, there were challenges in her testimony. You could see she was challenged in some areas. But she stayed faithful knowing that God was going to provide. And she was going to listen to what he said. She didn't run off to another country to try to find a new... She didn't go back up north. No. She waited. Okay? She was obedient. She listened. Okay, so these people were not obedient. And they just made up their minds, well, this isn't the time to rebuild God's house. And so Haggai is here, and he's saying, now therefore this says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Listen to those words. Consider your ways. You know what consider your ways means? Think about what you're doing. Think about it. God says, consider your ways. Yeah. Oh, okay. You have sown much. This is what God's saying through Haggai. And bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Okay, these are God's people. God takes care of his people when his people allow him to take care of them, right? Okay, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the second time in three verses. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring forth wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in the ruins, with every one of you who runs to his own house. So what they did... They stopped building God's temple. They went back to their homes and they built themselves some really nice homes. And they planted and they sold and they made money, and it was never enough. Do you see that in this? Do you see what God's trying to get them to see? Therefore, the heavens above you withheld the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called, this is God speaking through Haggai, for I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, unwatered, and whatever the ground brought forth on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. Why did God do that? Because they disobeyed. He needed to get their attention. He told them what to do. They didn't listen. In fact, they turned totally away from what God plans for them and the abundance He could give them. And they worked with their own hands. They looked to themselves to meet their own need. They disregarded the place that God could be glorified and God could go and dwell with His people. And His people could go there and give Him the glory. This is a big deal. I never realized until I got into studying this how big a deal this is. Then we're going to verse 12. Give me the names, people.
Zerubbabel,
who was the governor, and then Joshua, who was the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and people feared or reverenced the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you. He knew they were afraid. God knew that they were freaked out because they woke up and they realized that they had offended the Lord God Almighty. And He said, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of
Zerubbabel.
I cannot say these names. It's so funny. And who was the governor, and Joshua, who was the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So once the disobedience happened, which was, you know how long? I can tell you. 16 years. 16 years they got set free. They started to build the temple. Pressure from the world, pressure from people, their neighbors outside, all of that. They walked away. 16 years later, Haggai shows up and says, you need to consider your ways here. God needs you to wake up. And then He gives these messages to the people from God, and God's people responded. He got their attention. You know why? Because they knew the fruit of their labor, of their own hands, were not working. They were still hungry. They were still cold. They still didn't have what they needed, although they had these beautiful houses they built. But none of them had God's Spirit dwelling there. So obedience for them was a huge deal. And the moment they changed their mind and listened to God and went the ways of God from the words of the prophet Haggai, guess what happened? The whole thing changes. And they became a great people for God. Now, in our day and time, we don't have a prophet that walks in the back door here and says, hey, God want me to tell you. Because, you know, we'd all go, wah, wah. God can talk to us through the Spirit of Christ within us. These guys didn't have that great privilege, right? So I believe because of that communication with God and the individuals, it is extremely important for us to understand that obedience is not something that God should twist our arm about, right? You know what the word obedience means? It means that, in the biblical definition, and that's what we're talking about, it means that you simply trust and you submit and you surrender to God and His Word. That's what obedience means. Biblical obedience is you trust, you submit, and you surrender to God and His Word. Now, that doesn't really seem that hard to me when you put it that simply. God put Christ within us, correct? Who always did the Father's will? What is the greatest example we have of God's will, of someone who was obedient to God's will? Look in Philippians chapter 2. And you're right. Somebody said Jesus Christ. And no, it may sound like a dumb question, but really it isn't. Because you know what? Christ is in us. We have Christ in us. Now, I know that I am not a perfect human being, and I blow it, and I don't always listen to God the first time or second time around, but I really encourage each one of us to endeavor to allow that Christ within us to consider our ways when we're making decisions. When we're getting anxious, when we're feeling pressure, when we're feeling unloved, whatever it is the adversary uses to put his finger on your button, whatever button that is, consider who you are. You have Christ in you. God will tell you immediately what to do. God is not the problem. We are. I am, sometimes. We are. Let's get real here. But look at Philippians chapter 2, and let's start in verse 8. And being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of who? To the glory of God. He was obedient to everything God told him to do, even to the point of death. Thank God I will not be challenged with that request from God. Hey, Vic, I want you to be beaten, torn apart, put on a cross, and die for everybody. He's already done that. And that person with that strength, that ability, that compassion, that obedience lives in you and me. So is it possible for us to walk so tightly with God and consider what God is telling us before we make these decisions or these rash judgments? Possible? So that we can have that tightness with God? Absolutely possible. It is Christ within us. Right? What did Jesus Christ do when his disciples were disobedient? Oh, that's okay, Peter. Don't worry about it. Is that what he did? No. You know what he did? He got in Peter's face. Now, I use that term, figure of speech. I'm not saying get in somebody's face. But you know what he did? He corrected it. He said, Peter, wait, consider your ways. Hey, hold off. You know, I mean, a couple times he had to get stern with Peter because Peter was a strong person. And he believed God and he wanted to do God's best, but he got tricked a few times. I mean, get thee behind me, Satan, is not exactly, hey, Peter, you need to change your mind, is it? But Jesus Christ was willing to do what it took to fight for those men that God put under his charge, to fight for them, to learn and understand how important their relationship with God is. He fought for them to be obedient to God's voices, to God's voice to them, and to God's word. And until the day of Pentecost, it was pretty much God's written word and the words of Jesus Christ that those disciples and apostles and the people that went where Jesus Christ taught, it was that they had to hold on to. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have so much more available to us scriptural-wise to be able to consider our ways. Wait a minute, does this line up with what God's asked me to do? Am I doing this for me? You know, he told them you're putting your money in bags with holes. You think maybe they weren't giving? They wouldn't even build the temple. What are they going to give to? There's principles involved. You know, God wants us to be obedient. And there are two major things about being obedient to God that's really important for us to understand. And one is we do it not because we have to. We choose to do it because it is an expression to God of our love and trust in Him. And we're going to see that in some scriptures here. Go to Matthew 22. You know, God is, He's such a wonderful, loving, kind, and tender God. And yet He is a powerful, almighty God. And He is so much smarter than us. People, He knows what He's doing. And when God whispers in your heart or talks to you, however He does, and He gives you a direction and you don't like it, consider your ways. I want that embedded in your mind today. Consider your ways. Don't go there. Listen and obey. Just do it. God will provide the solution and the opportunity for whatever it is that He's asking you to do, to be only the very best for you. And we do this as an expression of love. We don't do it, well, God's going to be mad at me, or God's going to withhold from me. Is that our God? No. His love is unconditional, and people, mercy and grace follow us every day because we do blow it. And yet God covers. But for us, as mature Christians, people that want their relationship with God to grow tighter and tighter, we have actions to take. It has nothing to do with our salvation. That's already done. But there are things God asks us to do in His Word, right? Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another. God wants a cheerful giver. Give cheerfully to the work of the ministry. You know, pray for one another fervently. Have the truth to speak to every man as he needs to hear it. These are scriptures after scriptures in the Word that connect to those statements I just made to you, that God asked us to do from our hearts, to help each other, to help Him work in each other's lives. He called us to a family. He knows that better than any of us. And we have to have our hearts open and our humility pouring out of us when we come before our God and He talks to us and He gives us directions. And God sees this as a loving act to be obedient like that. Matthew 22:35. And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." Okay, now we just read the two commandments. Love God with what? Okay, so love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Is disobedience a loving act to God? No. Is obedience a loving act to God? Yes. That's part of the first commandment. And then the second one, I already talked about how God put us in a family and we're to help each other, right? In the love of God. In the love of God. It is important that we understand the humility and thankfulness for God's love and grace in our lives. Because there is so much of that. God's love is so personal, so intimate, so fulfilling and caring. Every detail of your life, He is concerned about. And I think about my lifespan and when I got into the Word and how much more I was able to learn and grow in God because of what I was taught from these scriptures, and how God just works in each and every one of us to do only the very best for us. And sometimes, you know, I was stubborn. I still am at times, but not as much as I used to be, and not as long as I used to be. Because I want that relationship with God. I want God to know how much I love Him. I'm so humbled by His love and His grace and His mercy. And I want to do what He wants me to do because I love Him. And that's what God needs from us. Look at John. You know, some people would say, oh, Vicki, God doesn't need anything from us. Yes, He does. He says that in His Word. He wants our hearts. He wants our love. He wants our obedience. He wants our respect. And I think God asks so little compared to so much He gives, don't you? Sorry. John 13. I got to get there. So our obedience is an act of love. And in that act of love of obedience, you know what happens? It draws us closer to God. Think about it. Somebody in your life that you really love, that's there for you all the time, and you get a chance to show that person how much you appreciate them every day. Do we do that? We should. We really should. And then you have God who wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He's given us the power. He's given us the direction. He's our cheerleader. He's up there like, come on, people, you can do this. I'm asking you to do this. I wouldn't ask you if you couldn't, right? Another, God does not give us impossible tasks. Obedience is our response of love to God. And when your response to someone is loving, what happens? You receive that love back even greater. What you sow, you reap. I mean, it's so God. It's so God. That's a profound statement, isn't it? Okay, so I said 13, verse 34. Is that right? Yep. Sorry, guys. That is not the verse
13, I'm looking
for. Yeah, I don't think that's what I'm looking for. Jesus lamentates over Jerusalem. Nope.
No. John 13, 34.
Where? Oh, yep. Sorry. Got the wrong chapter. Thank you. Okay, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is Jesus Christ talking to his apostles right before he's getting taken, a little while before he's going to be crucified. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is a big thing, loving each other. This is really huge to God. And so from my heart, to know this and to see this from the Word and then to like put that into my relationship with God, how huge is that for God to know we love Him? And obedience is part of the way God sees your love for Him. Look at John chapter 12. We'll go to verse 15. His disciple, what? Am I like goofing up here? Did I say John 12? Okay, I'm sorry. It's John 14, guys. Yeah. 14, verse 15. Somebody want to read that for me?
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Stand up and read it louder for me, Jeffrey.
says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
And then in verse 16 it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Here he is sharing again with his apostles before he's taken what God is going to do for us, for them in that particular situation. And he starts out with love, doesn't he? Look at John 13 again, and we'll go to verse 18. I picked these particular scriptures because they were the scriptures during this time of Jesus Christ's life where he was getting ready and he knew what was going to happen. And you know, the most important things he could share with those disciples, he shared that night. And if you read these sections, 90% of it is about love. And it's about his love for them and God's love for them. And it's amazing when you sit down and you just read some of this stuff of how could he have kept his mind so focused to do these things that God's asking him to do. Because that's what's going on. This isn't Jesus's plan. This is God's plan. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to be beaten beyond recognition. He's going to be scorned. He's going to be crucified. It's horrible what he's going to go through. And yet, God wants him to talk about love. How you show your love to them, to him, and to our Lord and to our God. How God shows his love to us and is going to continue to show his love. How much Jesus Christ loves these men. And he stays focused. Do you read this stuff? He stays focused. The only time is when he goes to the garden and asks. That's the only time he questions God. You read his whole life that's written, anything you can read that's written in this book. He never questions God about anything. Until that time in the garden. And then when God tells him, nope, okay, Father, not my will but yours. Now that man lives in us, guys. He lives in here. So don't tell me we can't do this. Is sometime, are we challenged sometimes? I was going to read that verse 18, sorry. I do not speak concerning all you know. I know whom I have chosen. This is Jesus Christ speaking. But that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up a heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes, it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. I thought this was one of the most awesome sharings. Okay, one of you is going to lift up your heel against me. And I'm telling you this so that you're prepared for it when it comes. Ever been really mad at somebody because they hurt your feelings and they spoke something against you and they're telling things about you and you find out? Do you set your family down and say, now look, this is what's being said about me, and I just want you to know before it comes out, and it's okay. I don't want you to be shocked, and it's okay. I love that person, and him that receives me will receive God. And do you do that? I don't do that. I have to have a battle up here. Man, I can't believe that person hurt my heart. I can't believe that guy said that to me. I can't. Here's Jesus Christ focused. He lives within us. Can we do better than we do with our obedience? You know, I kind of ask God, okay, I want to teach on obedience, but can I make it funny? Because, you know, people already get freaked out sometimes in practical teachings when it's kind of like, oh, we got, you know, it's a reproof teaching. It isn't a reproof teaching. It isn't. Not at all. It's a loving teaching. This is God's heart for us. He wants us to understand. Why? So we don't step on his hand sometimes. So he can open up freely and give to us freely. That's why. God is so good. And we are sometimes so stubborn. Don't you think? Are you ever stubborn? I'm looking at my nephew. He's going, Aunt Vicky. Are you ever stubborn? Yeah. Okay, go to James. We're almost done here. Yeah, I wanted to try to make it a funny teaching, but God just kept saying, nah, you know what, Vicky? Not this time. Okay, well, maybe another time then I can do it with a funny teaching. No. It's just like, oh, this is really important. And look, guys, this world ain't getting any better. You know, the pressure that people live with in this world, that we live with in this world, we need God. And sometimes, God, not sometimes, always, God sees the big picture. He knows what's coming down that road at you before you even have an idea it's coming. And what he wants is to protect you before it even gets there. He wants you to go around what's going to come at you with him. He wants to put the shield up and get you past that situation, that spirit, whatever it is the adversary is trying to throw at you, and protect you. But in order to do that, we have to listen. You know? Now, grace does abide. Thank you. Thank you. And he covers for us more than we'll ever know. But he needs mature believers. He needs us to grow up in Christ and be those men and women and shine brightly like Jesus Christ did and help other people get to that point. He needs that from us. And it blesses him when we do it. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Who's deceiving you when you're being a hearer only? Oh yeah, I go to fellowship. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to forgive. But you know, you don't know what that person really said to me. Well, God knows. And he says, forgive. Yeah, you know, I know I should give. I know I should abundantly share, but I got bills. I got bills. I can't give like that. I'll give when I can. Is that what God says to do? No. Now, those people that got talked out of the temple, they had lack in their life for many years because they weren't obedient to God. Now, did God let them die and starve to death? No. But did they have what God wanted them to have? No. Not until they did it. And then they were abundant in what they had. It's the same with us. We need to not just hear the word. We need to do those things. Be compassionate to people. Be forgiving. Be understanding. Read your word. Spend time with God. These are not bad things God's asking us to do. That's for darn sure. But do they take commitment? Do they take some of your time up for maybe something else? I was going to watch the football game. Well, Vicky, the football game's not what you need to be doing right now. You need to be spending time with me. I mean, that may not seem hard to somebody, but when my Sooners are playing, man, I want to see my Sooners. But I tell you what, I have missed Sooner football games to come to fellowship. Amen, God? Yes. I may have worn my Sooner shirt, but I came to fellowship. I know it's a silly example. But you know what? It's just as easy to turn around and forgive somebody as it is to go to fellowship instead of sitting at home watching a football game. It all happens right up here. Your commitment to him. That's how you be a doer of the word. You know? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But, I love God's buts. Because when God puts a but in, there's a reason. The word but. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. If we do the word, if we are obedient to what God tells us to be, no matter how little that may seem to us, what does God say is going to happen? We are going to be blessed. We are going to be blessed. We get blessed because of God, not because of ourselves. But we sometimes make it hard for God to bless us and do what he wants to do for us because we decide to figure it out ourselves and do it our own way. You know, and I thought what Claudia shared today was a great example of being in that spiritual teeter-totter. Well, I want to. And then her son speaks the truth to her. And that's very humbling to a parent sometimes, especially when your son's young and they speak the truth to you and you're like, oh God. But it happens. And what did she do? She immediately flipped it around. And look what ends up happening. Alpine's not hating her. They're not putting out the word against her. You don't see, you know, bad woman pictures of her all over Alpine now because she turned down a job. You know, God protected her and gave her what he wanted to give her. I just think that's such a great example of my teaching today. He asks so little from us and he gives us so much. We have such a great loving God. I want to close in Proverbs, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. Because this is what obedience is, you guys. It's this simple. And I cannot tell you how humongous it is to God. But when you look into the word and you look at this word obedience throughout the history of the Bible that we have written, without it, people failed miserably. With it, people were victorious in every situation. Every situation, even like Joseph, where he did not do one thing wrong. But he knew the word. We know so much word, you guys. We have so much knowledge and understanding. It's the practical things we've got to get really good at doing. It's taking our understanding of these scriptures and living them so people see them. And they want what we have. They want to figure us out. That's what God needs us to do. Be doers of his word. Okay, sorry. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 5. I did say 3, right?
Yep.
Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Consider your ways. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. God is waiting to direct every path we take, every step we take. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Reverence or fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. God delights in us. He is God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. He can do anything and everything great for us. And he loves us unconditionally. And he put Christ within us, which enables us to respond in every situation we're in with him. And that's your entire life, by the way. He's always there, even when we blow it and we don't blow it. He's always there. He is the one that we need to show our love, our trust, our confidence in. We need to surrender every thought that is different from what the Word says we should do to God's Word and be obedient because we love Him. And it will bless His heart. God will be blessed. I mean, you know, I want God to be blessed. I want Him to look at me and go, sometimes He's like, you know, sometimes I'm here and He's like, it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. What matters is, what are you going to do today after this teaching? This is God's Word. It's not Vicky's opinion. Now, I agree with this. Don't get me wrong. I agree, and I need to get a little, I need to get sharper in my own life, too. Isn't that the whole purpose of being able to teach, is that you learn and you encourage others and you learn and we learn as a family and we love each other and we help each other and we're there for one another, even when we're mad at each other? Put that stuff aside, man. My sister needs me. My brother needs me. Or, hey, I need help. Help! It's all good. Because God is good, always. So, I hope this will encourage you to look at the word obedience a little different. And to understand that that's an act of love to God when we're obedient. And there's other ways to show God too. I'm not saying that's the only way, but it is an important thing in the Christian walk, especially if you want to continue to get tighter and tighter with God. It's kind of hard to get tight with somebody that you won't listen to, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So that's what I wanted to share. You want me to pray? Sure.
Thank you. That was a good one.
Thank you, Robert. Oh, thank you, Robert. Bless your heart. Well, Father, we really do love you. And, you know, God, we know that you love us. And we know that you do so, so much more for us than we'll ever know. But, Father, this group of people here, they love you. Their hearts are open unto you. And we are so thankful that you never, ever give up on us. That you're always there to forgive us. You're always there to strengthen us and to guide and direct us. And you have put that Christ within us so that we can shine as lights. So, Father, give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to do it your way. Because in doing that, Father, we honor you and we walk lives that are nothing but victorious. And that example is what people in this world need to see. The love of God in action, the victory of Christ in action, a God who loves and cares for his people. So thank you, God, for continuing to work with us and love us, deliver us, and be there for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.